Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. Rate, review, subscribe, do all that fun stuff. YouTube, do the same damn thing, especially with this video that I'll be doing with Asad. We're going to do some previews of players on the Raptors that we think will be with the Raptors. We're going to assume that Dame Lillard, that all that isn't happening. Not much is going to change necessarily with like the question that we may have for them going into next season, maybe a little bit in the margins. But anyways, Asad, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
So we're going to look at essentially just like questions and curiosities that we have for these particular players. And Aman's going to do another one in the next few days. And we'll just kind of do our start doing our player preview stuff on these players. And we're going to assume at this point that Dame isn't coming. Okay. And so Asad and I, we're going to talk about Scotty Barnes. We're going to talk about Gary Trent Jr., Dennis Schroeder, and also Christian Koloko. And then Aman, she'll address a few other players in the coming days. But let's start with Scotty, because you just mentioned him. Okay. So what are your curiosities for Scotty Barnes? And I just also want to mention before I throw it to you is that Darko was on a podcast today with Jake's Takes. Yes, this is a 13-year-old kid who just finds ways to get better guests than I can. He's talked to Norman Powell, he's talked to a few other people, and he just released an interview with Darko. And he asked him, you know, how much more, it's a great question, how much more is Scotty going to be handling the ball this year? And this is Darko's direct quote. I see a very high ceiling in his game. Definitely he's going to play much more on the ball. He's going to be a decision maker. He's going to be trying to organize our team and run our team even more than in the past. So that's perhaps why we're seeing him play point guard a lot more at Rico runs. In previous seasons, you know, he was playing off ball. It was Pascal or it was Fred sometimes playing point guard just at these runs, right? But now it's just Scotty doing the point guard thing. Anyways, your questions for Scotty Barnes, his skill set, and his point guard play heading into next season. We can just kind of go back and forth here.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what type of actions they use to kind of use him as a playmaker and get him to initiate offense. I can see him being, again, Scotty Barnes, like the body type that he has, and I'm not trying to limit him as a player, but like we've seen him do like the things that Draymond Green or a Bam Adebayo does in terms of like getting the half court offense going, where it's like, you know, I can sit a screen, I can hit the gap really hard, I can take a couple dribbles and make the right decision and pass to the open person. And those are two very good players. I'm not saying that like that's a limit on a ceiling. I'm just saying those are two very elite players who have been basically in the finals like many of the past few years. Like these are very important players to play like, especially for his body type. I will say in terms of running point guard, some of the things are going to be out of DHO. He's probably going to be pretty good. Like he has the body type and the skill set to really be able to make decisions and put pressure on the defense from those type of situations. Running pick and roll with Jakob Poeltl, I think, is going to be interesting to view. Just because if it's just a top-down like pick and roll, are they just switching it because it'll be like size on size? Like I'm imagining someone who's guarding matched up with Scotty Barnes can probably just switch onto a Jakob Poeltl and push him around for a couple possessions. Probably going under on a lot of those screens. It's unlikely that Scotty Barnes is getting matched up with a small point guard either most of the time. So the mismatch hunting might be a little bit difficult. Like you'd have to run a couple of actions to get him into a mismatch rather than just him coming down the floor and automatically being in a mismatch. So those will be things that'll be interesting. Is I don't know how much his lack of three-point shooting will affect him being on ball in those type of roles in the defense. Like if he's able to still create the same advantages. I know last season, one of the areas of issues for him was consistently getting downhill face-up attack in the half court. In semi-transition, he was great because he would get his steps behind him. But whenever somebody got really into his dribble in the half court, you would see him kind of back up, pick up the dribble, pass it, and then try to reset and move from there. as the point guard, if you're the main guy, you got to be able to handle that and still be able to attack, attack, attack. So being more aggressive with the ball, understanding how to continually create advantages. And I think the one thing is he does have good court vision to make passes. Like, he does make some very nice passes. But again, it's being able to see the entire side of the court rather than only the other side of the court. When he's in, like when he's on one side on the elbow, he's looking for a pass in one direction. Sometimes he gets like locked into only looking in that direction for the pass, sure, where the help's going to come, and maybe he can make the first read, the second read, but can he make all the reads? And that's, those are all learning opportunities. And then the final piece for him, and this is something that Fred VanVleet spoke to in his exit interview as well, is kind of like the value of possession stuff. So I know Scotty got better with his turnovers as he got later in the season. He's going to have to be on top of that from day one, because as point guard, you set the tone for the offense. Mm. You set the tone for the team. You're setting the pace that the team's playing at. And if you have to be the one that values the possession. So one, you have to manage making sure everybody's in the right spots and getting the ball at the right time in the right places. And two, you have to know when certain passes are not worth making because it might be a turnover, or the certain game situation is, hey, I can't force this right now. We need to maybe slow down, set up a play, or maybe I need to push this advantage right now. So it'll be that decision-making and valuing a possession where, hey, if the other team's on a run, maybe you come down and set a play rather than come down, try to break your man down and take an early mid-range jumper with 18 seconds on the clock, right?
Yeah.
So those are the things where I'm going to kind of watch to see how he balances his aggression, and knows when he has to table set, how he has to press his advantages, and when he has to be a scorer. And those are all difficult things to do. And I don't think it'll be, you know, clear cut from day one. I think he's going to struggle with it a bit, but we'll see. We'll see how he grows through the season in those situations. I think Pascal Siakam does a really good job of that. But again, Pascal Siakam also has been playing like 40 minutes a game, 38 minutes a game, and you can see how that wears on him.
Yeah.
And that's one issue. Another thing, Scotty talked about his stamina defensively. His stamina is going to have to improve if he's on ball more offensively as well, because now you're not suddenly just in charge of getting the ball at in a half court setting and then playing point guard. It's bringing the ball up the floor, which takes whatever little bit more energy it takes. It does take a little bit more energy. Now you're getting down the floor, there's 18 seconds left on the clock, and you've already kind of burned a couple of your bursts for that possession, just like, you know, guarding from the point guard trying to steal the ball or pressing up on you at half court. So that'll be interesting to see how Scotty does this season with those items.
Yeah, I wonder if we're going to see smaller players on him actually guarding him. Like, I think back to the play-in game, and we saw that the Raptors' lack of depth became a problem, aside from missing free throws. But I remember early fourth quarter, you had Alex Caruso, Pat Beverly. They came in to the game, and Fred hadn't really sat in the second half, and they were pressuring his dribble. They were all over him, and it was taxing on him. And now we're asking Scotty, like, you know, can you handle, like, obviously he's a bigger player, the dribble's going to be higher. What if it's a Pat Bev and Alex Caruso, these types of players that are pressuring his dribble? Is he able to handle that? You know, how does he handle that pressure? And also, is he able to make the right decision at the same time? Maintaining the live dribble is so important for a point guard. And for them, it's so, for so many of them, because they're smaller players, it's second nature. They just do it. But for Scotty, he's developing that skill. So how is he able to do that? While also, you know, making those quick decisions, and in a 0.5 style of basketball, it's like search, decide, execute relative to the advantage you have in 0.5 seconds, because the theory is that within 1 second, the defender in front of you is able to catch up. So if you do it in 0.5, you're ahead. Do all that while also learning the point guard position, while also keeping your team, your team's offense flowing and having the feel for the game. It's a lot of things that Scotty's going to be going through this season. And Pascal Siakam, when he became a hub, it happened through a lot of reps. So you think of the reps Pascal's had over the past few seasons. He's had to rep it out. He's failed, but he's learned and he's gotten better. Scotty's going to be, he needs that time as well to get those skills right. And then with the shooting, yeah, I mean, we know pull-up shooting is so important in basketball, especially from your point guard. If you don't have that, it's hard to just get that space and the gaps that you want from a defense. And sometimes, you know, past season, Jakob Poeltl, Scotty, they did have some, you know, pick and rolls. Scotty's hitting a a 1-2 dribble, pull up two. Is he able to hit that consistently? Those 15 to 20 foot shots, those are going to be so important for him. He did develop throughout the season, but where is that now? And can he maintain the pace of the Raptors offense? Can he limit the dribbles? It has to be like, you know, decisive dribbles, less, you know, dribbling the ball on the perimeter. That kind of stuff isn't really going to fly anymore in a 0.5 style of basketball. And I have like more curiosity about his isolation offense, but any, your thoughts on that? The face up you mentioned is going to be so important for him too.
Yeah. The big thing that you mentioned with the ball pressure is how many times is he going to turn his back to the basket outside of the 3-point line, which is going to be a big one. If he's having to do that a lot, if every time they put pressure on him, he's having to turn his back to the defender, that is, you know, less favorable than, you know, if he's able to kind of play them face up and, you know, defender reaches, he blows by, things like that. And that really comes with, again, comfort with his handle and things of that nature. In isolation, again, I'm hoping they don't play as much isolation. This team, as constructed, needs to play as much motion and team basketball as they possibly can. Yeah. And then mismatch hunt where they're able to get switches on screens and attack those quickly before teams can kind of like swap out defenders. And that's really how they're going to have to do it. I think using Scotty as a hub for, you know, a Dennis Schroeder to curl around and attack off cuts, or, you know, Gary Trent Jr., OG Anunoby to kind of curl around or play off of and cut off of, that's going to be important. I think him and Pascal are going to have to basically, one of them's hunting the mismatch off ball, trying to get switched onto a smaller defender. And while the other one's kind of playing, you know, a hub style, you know, trying to run a DHO or something. Yeah. On the opposite wing. That's, I think, generally how the construction of it's going to look. But again, they are going to be much better off the fewer dribbles they have kind of isolated in a single player. Try to keep the ball moving, keep it at a fast pace, pass, pass, pass. And I think their offense will do better that way. If it becomes very isolation heavy, like, hey, hopefully Scotty takes a leap. He becomes really good in isolation. He is a very aggressive finisher at the rim when he puts his head down, but he also tended to get tunnel vision a lot of times in his second season, where he would kind of decide he's going to make a drive or make a post move on a guy and then try to force it, and it didn't turn out as great just because the touch on his jumper might not be there yet from outside 10 feet. So those are things where, again, if he improves, that's amazing, but it's going to come down to decision making, and he's a young player. So when you throw more responsibility on a young player, like, that's fantastic. It's a great opportunity, but you do have to make something out of that opportunity. So it will come down to what he can do with it. And
sure,
I am hoping that, you know, closer. And again, it's, you're not grading somebody on the first game of the season, and you're not going to grade them on the last game of the season per se either, but you're seeing how they improve through the season. So you're hoping that by the midway point of next season, Scotty's showing that he's comfortable in the role and that he's able to find his spots a little bit more effectively.
Yeah, simplicity is going to be his best friend, especially in the early going. And I mean, what the Raptors look like in the first game of preseason, first game of regular season, is going to be such a long process for them, especially if they're going to be, you know, adapting to this style of basketball that is quite different from what I think the offense is going to look like under Nick Nurse. It's going to be very different, actually. So they're going to adapt on the fly. And I think Scotty just has to take the reps as it comes, keep it simple, decisive dribbling, as I mentioned, decisive decision-making. And on defense, yeah, I wonder if it's going to be what it was under Nick Nurse. Is he going to be guarding on the perimeter? I don't know if that's his best skill set, especially if you have Dennis Schroeder on the floor with him as well. But then if it's Gary Trent Jr., like, we're talking some hypotheticals here because of the Dame thing, but you know, do you want him being that guy? And we'll have to see how it goes. I like the idea of him being an off-ball defender. I can see that being a menacing effect on other teams. And consistent one-on-one defense is going to be really important for them. I imagine it's going to be a more conservative system, probably similar to what we saw with Nick Nurse under, but just like some different principles, assuming, like, I'm talking after they got Jakob Poeltl. Anything else on Scotty? There's going to be a lot more time to discuss this young man, obviously, but the flashes were there at different points last season. And I don't think, I mean, there's a lot of people that are pretty down on what his future is after last season. Wasn't the best sophomore year, but I still think there's tons of flashes that show that he's still an excellent prospect, an exceptional talent, and the chance is here now for him to make something of it.
Yep. He's an exceptional prospect. Like, his flashes are incredible. Yeah. And like, it is going to be about, can you turn those flashes into full games? And not just full games, can you do it 3 games out of every 4, 4 games out of every 5? Like,
yeah,
can you be someone that they can rely on night to night rather than just, oh, at home you're amazing, on the road you're not as amazing? Yeah. So it, that's the question that's going to really have need to be answered. And he's a young player, so there's obviously room for, you know, allowing bumps and bruises. But now you're getting there. You're a third-year player now. Once you get to that fourth-year spot, it's like, okay, let's start seeing some consistency, show that, you know, you're worthy of, like, this much investment. Because clearly the franchise is investing in it fully. Yeah. They've put him front and center in every single possible conversation they've had this summer in terms of how they've been positioning the franchise and him as a player on the team. So it's time to, like, hey, you're being handed the mantle. It's time to carry it. So it'll be an interesting season for sure for Scotty Barnes. I hope that he succeeds, and we'll see how it goes, really. He has all the skills to succeed, so it's just a matter of if he's able to put the pieces together.
Yeah. And referring back to Jake's takes, the question he asked him about Scotty that prompted the answer that I mentioned earlier was, he asked, is he going to be the starting point guard? And Darko tiptoed around it. But the other guy that could be the starting point guard, he could be on the floor. Again, you know, we have to see what happens with Dame. But Dennis Schroeder, what are your questions for him? I think, considering the circumstances, he's a pretty good replacement at the point guard position. Pretty malleable. Darko has a good rapport with them. They have a good rapport with each other. He has a lot of confidence in him. And there are things that he offers that are unique for a point guard at the position. But yeah, what are the things that, what are your questions for Dennis Schroeder?
For Dennis Schroeder specifically, I think he's an interesting point guard to add. He definitely adds more movement, more cutting to the team. His best seasons, both in OKC and in LA, were when he was not the primary point guard. He played in a lot of those lineups for Cleaning Glass. He was actually the shooting guard, and yeah, he played really well in those situations. So, yes, he can run a pick and roll with a good screener. He did really well with Steven Adams as a screener. He did really well in LA with Anthony Davis as a screener. So having a big body like Jakob Poeltl to screen for him, I'm sure he can do well on the pick and roll in that situation. I think he definitely adds a lot. Yes, you don't get the same pull-up shooting as you would with a Fred VanVleet, but mm-hmm. you do get a little bit more slice and dice in the lane. And I personally am a little more optimistic on his corner catch and shoot three-pointing. Again, you need to have more guards that can shoot from above the break as well. Yeah. But we'll see how his three-point shooting kind of goes. I don't expect it to be anything exceptional, but I don't think it's as big a negative as people are seeing it as. I think he's a passable shooter at best.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the piece you're going to miss from him. But I think he'll do well alongside a bunch of playmaking forwards. And he's played in Darko's system before and done well in movement-oriented systems that aren't as isolation-heavy. So I'm optimistic about him as a player. I think he can be a very good contributor to the Raptors.
Yeah. Keep on referring back to Jake's takes, but these are the most recent quotes we have from Darko. And he had mentioned Jakob Poeltl, and he said that he plans on using him as a playmaker. And we didn't get to see that much this past season. Not to blame Nick Nurse. It happened in small spurts, but I just love the idea of a two-man game between, you know, it's an empty side, and you have Jakob Poeltl and Dennis Schroeder going to work. And this is a downhill threat that Dennis has. Like, we talk about, you know, get a step on your defender. Like, he just can do that in a flash, and it's not a problem for him. He's so fast. And I just like the idea of seeing him go downhill and being able to create advantages in that way. And if he is, like, whatever point guard he is, starter, bench, I'm curious if he can, you know, run a five-man unit. Like, I think the Raptors, as you mentioned, they're going to have more depth this upcoming season. And how does he work with, like, a Christian Coloco and a Jalen McDaniels and a Chris Boucher, for instance, a Precious Achiuwa? Can he run that unit and kind of make it sing? It creates so much simplicity when a player knows, like, what's expected of them. And if they want to roll, like, you know, a five-man starting unit and a five-man bench unit or whatever the case is, players like that. They like knowing what's expected of them. And I think Dennis is capable. And I'm also curious, like, what kind of leadership is he bringing? Like, he's a fun guy, and he just came from LeBron, and LeBron, every single team that he has, it's always a fun squad. They always have like inside jokes. And I think the Raptors could use more of that this upcoming season. And he has the spirit that could offer that. But when he's on the floor, I think he has to be a leader. He has to be a game manager on both sides. He has to be the spark plug. He has to be the heart of their identity on both sides. So if it's defense, it's his point of attack defense, which I think is going to be terrific. Smart doubles, you know, just clamping up dudes. And then on the other side of the ball, you know, it's 0.5 basketball, right? And he's one of the best players suited to be in a situation like that because of how fast he is and he's experienced. He's seen a lot in his career. And yeah, those are a few of the things there. And the FIBA version of him is different styles of basketball, but he did shoot 38% from three. Outside of, if he canceled the Latvia game where he shot 0-8, he shot 38% from three at FIBA, and he shot 51% overall. And he was hitting some pull-up threes and pull-up twos. And we know that the space that he requires when a defender goes under is, it's a wider angle than it would be for another person because of how fast he is. Teams are scared of his speed. And so that does allow for more space on with some crafty screening from a Jakob, for instance, but more space to get a shot off. Is he more confident in that look? I'm curious about that because he's got a floater. He can turn corners really fast, but the pull-up three, the pull-up twos, it would be such a nice thing for the Raptors to have in a pick and roll. It would be really nice.
I'm again, the point of attack defense is definitely a big thing, but I'm optimistic that Dennis Schroeder is a good, it's going to be a good fit for this Raptors team. And yeah, like I'm looking forward to seeing how he can kind of change maybe the speed that the Raptors play at and kind of increase their pace in the half court with his cutting and his speed.
Mm-hmm. His transition is going to be fun with, especially if you think of a bench lineup that he's featuring, some of the speed the Raptors have, the athleticism, it could be really, really cool to watch. Okay, Gary Trent Jr., someone who had a bit of a down year this past season. Obviously, he opted in because, frankly, the market wasn't there for him, and he's hoping he can get himself a big old payday after a good season and whatever place he's going to be playing. Your questions for Gary going into next season, things you're curious about, things you want to see?
I think the big question with him is, can he play in a movement-heavy system? Can he, you know, avoid being a ball stopper at times? One of the biggest issues with Gary Trent is usually like, even if you get him an open shot, he's gonna want to take a dribble or two or try to figure it out, and it's kind of slows down or bogs down the offense a little bit at times when he does that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and if you're moving to a system that's more 0.5, you're trying to make quick decisions and quick attacks and figure things out, how will he, you know, meld into that system where you're moving around a lot more, you're coming off curls a lot more, and you're just trying, you're being asked to make more decisions? I would like to see him be more aggressive with his three-point shooting, and when using his dribble more as a playmaker rather than trying to get that mid-range two. Like the mid-range two is a great weapon to have, sure, at like the end of the shot clock to break it down, but like if it's coming out of like your initial actions and you're like still 15-14 seconds left on the clock, that's not necessarily a shot that you need to get. You can work for better. So when he puts the ball on the floor, how does he leverage himself to, you know, draw the second defender, create an advantage for a teammate, and then get the ball to a teammate? He's not necessarily the best passer. His left hand is not great. He's not a good left-hand finisher by any means either.
Yeah.
So left hand, those are the big questions for him. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right hand.
Like one of the biggest plays of the season that I can remember from Gary Trent Jr. was trying to force a right-handed layup against the Knicks instead of just doing it with his left and missing it at the end of the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah.
And then the Raptors go on to lose that game. But it's just those are the things where it's like, okay, like you're a young player, you can improve on all these things. He clearly works really hard. All he's doing is two-a-days and three-a-days all week, all summer. So I don't doubt his work ethic by any means. It's just a matter of how will he fit in this system and how will he improve. I think he definitely has a high upside as a role player, as being like a top tier role player on this team, especially as a catch and shoot guy. One of the sneaky things about his shooting last year was that he was very reliant on Pascal Siakam for a 3-point percentage.
Yeah.
Like he was the most assisted by Pascal Siakam. Most of his threes were assisted by Pascal Siakam. So he very much leveraged off of Pascal's gravity. So it'll be interesting to see how he can you know, continue to be effective even when Pascal's on the bench, when he's leading or being part of like leading a bench unit with a Dennis Schroeder or something? How can he carry the offense still and still be effective when another player might not be drawing as much help?
Yeah. It's funny. I'm looking at some of the stats there, and he's never been a very good corner three-point shooter. Like outside of his rookie year, and that was on low frequency, it's never really been there for him. But above the break, it really pops. And you think of where Pascal Siakam likes to operate, where the help is coming from, it's around the free throw line extended, that area. And then it's just a pitch pass to or kick out pass to Gary. And there he is. And he's a terrific above the break shooter. So that's kind of where that comes from. But I think with his three-point shot, I would love to see more consistency. It was a bit up and down this past season. That happens with shooters, but I mentioned the corner three. Like, it's such a valuable asset. And with some of the spacing limitations we know the Raptors are going to have, getting those corner threes is going to be crucial for them. And sometimes it's going to be better off if you have a Gary in the corner instead of another player, just because of the advantages another person can create. So can he stabilize that a little bit? And also, can his pull-up three pop a little bit? You know, that would be really nice. If he could do that. It was a 3% dip in his pull up this past season. It's a hard shot, obviously, but we've seen that he can get it off against anyone. If he's able to figure that out, that would be a nice little caveat. You had mentioned, you know, who are the best players last time we chatted, who are the best players to run pick and roll on the Raptors, and you had said OG Anunoby, but it's also, it could be, you know, a Gary Trent Jr. If that pull up three is clicking.
The pull up three is one portion of running a pick and roll, but like also I would need to see significant playmaking improvements
to say that.
But I will say, just as a point of optimism on Gary, I know last season he was dealing with a lot of lower leg injuries, like thigh injuries and stuff like that. Again, like your pull up shot is definitely going to be affected if your legs aren't 100%. Like your thighs are, for a pull up three, you need to be able to kind of create that power very quickly. So it's a more quick reaction type of shot than say a catch and shoot where, you know, you can get your base and you can go up with a little bit more time.
Yeah.
So I can definitely see how like injury might've affected his dip last season, but that's a, you know, caused some optimism for this season that, you know, with all the extra work he's doing, he seems like he's in incredible shape. Maybe he can come in and regain that pull-up form that he had the season before.
Yeah. His face-up scoring, I think we'd both agree that could always use work. Any player could probably use work with that. He'll get some of those reps, I'm sure, this upcoming season. Just, you know, recognizing the top foot, finding the angle, not being bothered by, you know, some hand checks, just like get through it and keep on pursuing the rim. But then, you know, his cutting, he could be one of the best cutters on the Raptors, I think, because of the amount of ways that he can get a shot off. If it is a pull-up three, if it's a mid-range pull-up two, some of the schemes that they could run and play make with a Jakob Poeltl, a Scotty Barnes. And we saw some of that last season, actually. He could be terrific. So I would love to see him just embrace the role of being a terrific cutter. 45 cuts, backdoors, curls, UCLAs, like whatever the case is, like make that part of your offensive identity, because maybe you're not going to be the best dribbler or the best downhill threat, but you have assets and you have skills that another team could be scared of. So you can parlay that into some easy layups for yourself. And also, you know, then you know, a tag happens, it's kick out, play make, then you're really helping your team. So I think that's something that could really help him. And that's like, that's going to be probably a Darko thing, but also he has to just like... Yeah.
And speaking on cuts, like this is going to be something for every single Raptor, whether it's Gary Trent Jr., Precious Achiuwa, whoever it might be. It's not just about cutting to get the ball and then finishing at the rim. It's cutting to open up a teammate. The majority of really well-timed cuts, you might not even get the ball, but it might just spring open someone else because the help is overreacting. So if Gary Trent Jr. can leverage himself as a creator, not just on ball and scoring role, but also being someone off ball who can have some gravity by not just being a catch and shoot threat and pulling a help defender to him, but by cutting more aggressively, more actively when he's off ball, that'll be a big, big up to his game. Like that's one of the things where, like, when you look at a Buddy Hield, who's a hot commodity on the trade market right now, you know, he's 30, he's basically mastered how to be that role of three-point shooter.
Yeah.
Who can create basically havoc on defense for the other team because of just like having to track him. And I think Gary Trent Jr. more skews in that realm than he does, you know, a high volume shooting guard type, like a Devin Booker, but even a Devin Booker, anyone who is a shooting guard in the league who's a 3-point threat. If you tend more towards a guard, I would like to see you moving more off ball and leveraging yourself as a threat for your team by being an active cutter, being an active mover, and an active spacer.
It's a great skill, and it's going to be demanded by all the Raptors. The system that they're going to want to play, it's going to be a lot of unselfishness, and it's the success of it is going to be predicated on how everyone, you know, embraces the style of play. And everyone can eat in this way. It's in a different way than what the Nick Nurse regime was, of how everyone can eat. It was more of a game by game basis, looking at what the other team is doing. But in a style like this, if everyone's cutting, everyone's making smart cuts, they're utilizing space, they're driving hard, they're cutting hard, they're screening hard, there could be something. And we've got to see how things look next season. Last person, Christian Coloco. Your questions and hopes for him, who I would imagine is probably trying to solidify himself as the backup center, which I think he should be able to.
Yeah. So I really like Christian Coloco. He actually had a really good rookie year, all things considered. So I'm not gonna harp too much on, I think he's still a very young and developing player. We haven't seen enough of him to really know significantly what his negatives are or anything. I think he's very malleable at this point. Things I really like from Christian Coloco, he was very active defensively. Defensively, even though he didn't have much weight on him in his rookie year, he had an impact on the defensive end for the Raptors every single time he stepped on the floor. He was literally every single defensive lineup with Christian Coloco was one of the best Raptor lineups this season. So he 1000% should be a backup center this season if he's able to, you know, improve. I could see him being a 15-minute backup for Jakob Poeltl, where you're basically always running a lineup where either Poeltl's at the five or Coloco's at the five, and then you have your 4 or 5 minutes of small ball here and there. One of the areas of improvement that I want to see from him, one thing I think, not really an area improvement, but just I want to see more of, is he was a very good, he made some smart reads that he didn't have to make too many of them, but he made some smart reads on the short roll this season. I had posted a video earlier in the summer on him. I do plan on doing something for him for our Substack at prosandclaws.substack.com, which you guys should check out and subscribe. We got some great work there coming for preseason, just waiting for the team to kind of solidify, obviously. But with Christian Coloco, one of the big things was he's made some pretty good reads out of the short roll. I think he has the vision for passing and the quick decision-making needed to be useful there and be usable as a hub, because he's able to make those reads to be able to kind of see where the lanes are, and he's going to improve over time. So I'd like to see more of that. And I think the ball is going to be in the big's hands more with Darko's system anyway. So I'll be looking forward to that. And then the final thing, and this is kind of like the one piece that I've been looking on Christian Coloco, is kind of how his, you know, bulking up helps him. So in his rookie season, he took 109 shots inside 5 feet, and 16 of those were blocked. So that's like about 15% of his shots inside 5 feet being blocked. For comparison, Jakob Poeltl currently, I think, is like at like maybe like 4 or 5% of his shots inside 5 feet are blocked. So I looked at Jakob Poeltl's rookie numbers when he was also a lot lankier, a lot skinnier, and getting pushed around a lot. And he was at 11% of his shots getting blocked inside 5 feet. Huh. And then the following season, as he bulked up, it dropped to 7% and so on and so forth. So Coloco was, I think, 56% inside 5 feet. If you get blocked a little bit less, maybe some of those blocks are fouls, to be fair. And, you know, he starts getting a better whistle as he gets stronger and they start looking more like fouls.
Yeah.
But as he gets stronger and he gets blocked less inside of the 5 feet, that can really, really improve his efficiencies as a finisher at the basket. And the better he can get at being a finisher at the basket, the more valuable he becomes in that role. I think defensively, he's going to be good always as a role player. Yeah. He's just a solid defensive role player. For him to become like potentially, you know, a 20-minute player at the center spot, in the league, or become like a solid defensive role player big, he just needs to improve on the finishing aspect of it. I think that there are some flashes of him being able to play make out of the high post, make some good reads on the short roll.
Mm-hmm.
But if he can improve his finishing, improve his strength, that's probably the biggest thing I want to see from him this season. And those are the questions I have for him. But I'm really high on him. I think he's really good, and I think he's just going to be a solid role player. Every time he came out with the Raptors, if he had made a mistake in previous games, you saw him correct those mistakes as he kept going on. And during the back end of the season, he really improved when he came back from the G League. So I'm hoping for a good showing from Christian in his second season.
Yeah, and the players like him too. They appreciate his work ethic. I mean, that there's no bigger compliment you can get as a player, as a young player, if your teammates who are veterans and they're saying that he works, he's working hard, and so he's got that figured out. It's similar stuff for me. Like the playmaking, I think I talked to him about this too. That he was more of a playmaking big when he was with Arizona. He had mentioned that, so he does have a bit of that vision, and that could be something a North Star for him if he can keep on developing that. But in the short role, yes, he can like make that kick out pass. And offensively, yeah, it's like, is he able to just be a better, solid finisher? It's strength related, obviously. It's just having his counters ready. His floater, he likes to use that. Sometimes he's hanging around the dunker spot and there's a little kick pass and he's able to hit that little floater. That would be great for him. But just having like your, and I'm sure he's repping all the stuff out like as we speak, but it's like when he gets that ball in the short roll, it's like just one power dribble, counter and make your move and go up strong. He just has to make it like that muscle memory just natural for him, and I think he can, and he can learn so much from Jakob Poeltl this upcoming season. Like the parallels, oh, yeah, as you just mentioned, like they're there. Especially now that you're going to see Jakob Poeltl as a playmaking big, just pick his brain, learn what you can. And I'm not saying he's not going to do that, I'm sure he will. But it's a great opportunity for him to, especially under Darko, to get more of those reps offensively, because I think he will have, as you said, a solidified backup role with the Raptors, and he should have a decent point guard with them too. If it is Dennis Schroeder or whatever, that it's going to be an offense that is really humming. It's going to be quick and fast, and he's a smart kid too. So I think he'll develop quickly.
Yep.
There we go. There we go, everyone. Those are your four players that we're going to talk about. Look forward to a month's podcast on a very similar kind of line of questioning, same questions, same subjects. But for now, Asad, thanks for joining me. Everyone, have fun. We'll talk to you.
Take care.